Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. Local municipalities are currently being tested to the extreme with the coronavirus pandemic. Simultaneously, a health crisis, social crisis, and economic crisis. COVID-19 is laying bare how well communities are planned and managed. Its impacts are challenging local leaders in unprecedented ways as they work to move their communities forward in a time of crisis. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Throughout north central Wisconsin, the effects of the coronavirus pandemic have been swift and severe, with businesses on the brink of closure, slashed sources of revenue for cities and towns, and record high unemployment rates, leaving local leaders with a host of unforeseen challenges. But in this moment of crisis, we are also witnessing remarkable examples of turning on a dime, of coming together to make the impossible possible, trying new things and finding a recipe that works. Joining us today are three local mayors tasked with leading their cities out of crisis and focusing on the renewal of their communities. Later in the program, we'll hear from Mosinee Mayor Brent Jacobson and from Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. But for our first segment, we welcome Shane Blazer, the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids. Shane, welcome to Route 51.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. You can join the conversation, too, by calling 800-780-9742. You can email us at route51@wpr.org. Callers, please allow plenty of time for our producer to answer your call. So, Shane, you served as city clerk for almost a decade. Then you were on the city council before being elected mayor in April. So you're just new to the seat. So I have to wonder, did you ever imagine when you were running your campaign the kinds of challenges you'd be facing right now?
No, I did not expect that. You know, probably the biggest challenge is with our largest employer announcing going idle on a paper mill. But through the whole election process, I knew it would be unique because we really didn't get an opportunity to campaign. You know, nobody was able to, you know, do door-to-doors, do meet and greets and those type of things. So right away from day one, it's been a challenge and something unique to the process.
Well, and you just mentioned the mill shutdown. That has to be top of mind. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of workers, their families, so many people impacted by this. I know immediately when this was announced, there were some conversations that were taking place between stakeholders and lawmakers. So at this point, what is that looking like? What is the future of the mill looking like right now?
Well, honestly, it's unknown. Yeah, I have to give a shout out and the appreciation I have for Representative Scott Krug and Senator Pat Teston for taking the lead on this and organizing a task force and bringing everybody together to work on first. The first subgroup is with the economic development, and the second subgroup is to support the employees. And that's been
sure.
Our focus.
So, you're participating in these conversations, so really nothing has been decided yet, or no solutions have really emerged at this point, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering, too, what kind of fiscal support do you usually receive from the county and the state? Are there services that the state and the county provide that you might have to source elsewhere because of the pandemic?
I think everybody's kind of adjusted and to address, you know, services being provided. And that's one thing when I took office, you know, I walked into my office and 90% of the staff was teleworking. So I was one of the few people in City Hall, which was probably a first for a mayor coming into a position, which created its own challenges of, you know, the learning curve through the process.
So do you have a sense of whether budget cuts are going to be unavoidable? Taking a look, the National League of Cities put out a survey just a couple of weeks ago. More than 1,000 municipalities were surveyed. They found that nearly 3/4 of them have already started making cuts and adjustments to their budget in response to what they're saying is going to be a $360 billion revenue loss for cities over the next 3 years. So have you made cuts at this time, or are you considering them in Wisconsin Rapids?
Well, we haven't made cuts, but we haven't, you know, there's, you know, every year, every community does projects, and we're kind of holding off on some of those projects in anticipation of maybe that funding might be needed for next year's budget. So we're just kind of just being a little more conservative on our spending.
So has there been an impact on infrastructure projects at this point?
Infrastructure, no, not to, usually in our community, we'll borrow to do our infrastructure, our road maintenance projects, because a lot of the times the life of the loan will, our streets will outlast the life of the loan. So we're okay in that aspect, but we're just being cautious and conservative in our spending right now.
I'm curious about the small businesses in your community. I know that so many small businesses have been impacted first by the Safer at Home order and then struggling to kind of pivot to a new business model. Do you have a sense of how many businesses in Wisconsin Rapids, the Verso Mill aside, are at risk of closure right now?
I think talking to some of our small businesses, everybody's just kind of hanging on the edge right now. Listening to one the other night, he said that they could not survive another business closure at this point. So everybody's just trying to hold on and see if we can get through this and seeing what the future is going to hold after that.
It has to be challenging as a leader when you're talking to business owners who are facing so much uncertainty, because we just don't know where this pandemic is going to go. We don't know what kinds of decisions the leaders are going to make at other levels of government. And how are you working to keep them calm and keep them feeling positive throughout this?
Well, just continuing to talk to them, support them. You know, everybody has their feelings on how much they want to be involved right now. You know, we have people that are staying at home, and we have people that are going about their lives, and those people that are comfortable being out in the public, you know, I encourage them to support our local businesses as much as possible.
And you talk about being out in the community and out and about. What about tourism and tax revenue? Has this been an issue? Have you seen any losses related to room tax revenue at this point?
So at this point, we have not realized or seen that loss in room tax revenue, but it's coming. In the next quarter payments and those type of things, we'll start noticing that reduction, because pretty much every event in our area has been canceled. We have been able to open our new aquatic center with restrictions, and we have a local Northwoods baseball team here that's opened up. So those really are about the two main things that we're able to do. There's a couple other local events. You know, our farmers markets have started up, and an event that we have on Thursdays up here is called Lunch by the River, and they're operating. But otherwise, outside of any other type of events, they've all been canceled, which is eventually going to affect room tax revenue and, you know, just the support of our small businesses.
Is that a substantial portion of your budget, or is it relatively small and compared to other portions?
I would say it's relatively small. You know, the room tax dollars are used towards our parks, also towards economic development. So it really doesn't fund the operational parts of our budget.
What about traffic fines or parking fees? We're seeing so many reductions in those. I mean, for a couple of months, people pretty much all but stopped driving. So what about that? Have you seen losses related to traffic fines or parking fees that are impacting your budget?
Well, fortunately, we don't have parking meters and those type of things, so that ended years ago. So you can come to our town and park downtown without any fees associated with it.
Nice.
yeah, so it is a nice feature. You know, something that we had gotten rid of years ago, and as our law enforcement, they're operating and they're doing as we would hope that they would do, is, you know, uphold our local ordinances and laws. But I don't know of, and nor have I been told that we've seen a dramatic decrease, because I personally don't feel that, you know, that's the goal of our police department, and is raising money through fines. And so we don't take that into account into our budget.
Okay. So I guess I'm curious too, we talked a little bit about tourism dollars, but how is Wisconsin Rapids collaborating with neighboring communities to fight the spread of COVID-19, but at the same time keeping the economy up and running? Are you considering any collaborative efforts, perhaps?
Well, I think, you know, we all hear about, you know, the southern part of the state. And, you know, I spoke to my aunt the other night and how she's required to wear a mask in the public. Up here by us, there's all kinds of varying opinions. We don't have any mask ordinances. There are people that would like to see that. I don't favor, you know, doing it by community to community. You know, I think it needs to be something done by counties or a collaboration of counties. So there is no discussion about collaborating on those type of activities amongst communities.
Sure. What about to spur economic development or to spur some support for businesses? Do you see any collaborative possibilities there, perhaps?
So there hasn't been a lot of discussion. We are fortunate enough to have a business that they make aluminum billets called Matalco. And they are finishing up their plant construction, and that should occur and be online hopefully in November, which is going to create, you know, up to 80 to 90 jobs. And mm-hmm. So we'll be able to realize that coming up in the next few months.
Okay, so you're still working toward those kinds of things that haven't gone away because of this. That's certainly good news for Rapids. What do you see any specific things that Wisconsin Rapids could do to help struggling small businesses in the community? You said earlier that that several business leaders have come to you and said, we can't survive another shutdown. We're just, you know, we're hanging on the edge. So is it maybe direct funding, or does it involve relaxing rules and regulations like Stevens Point and Wausau have done? Have you given some thought to maybe some creative ways that you can help those businesses?
So our council has been discussing and working towards things such as Stevens Point, creating a open container area where you can leave a downtown establishment, a bar, and sit in a park with a beverage with your dinner. So they are currently debating that and trying to set that up. Mm-hmm. So they're working towards those things.
Okay. When unexpected shortfalls happen, I guess I have to wonder, when smaller communities like Wisconsin Rapids are hit with significant revenue losses and shutdowns and the whole situation with the mill, do you think it's more difficult to close funding gaps compared to, say, larger cities like Wausau or Green Bay or even Eau Claire or Madison, for example? Is it harder for small communities?
I think it's just a matter of assessing what your priorities are at that time in the community and making sure you're focusing on those, and maybe some other things might have to wait. And I think we all have challenges no matter what the size of our communities, because it's based on the ratio. So I think it's just with all of us trying to just look at and honestly prioritizing the priorities and funding them and letting the other things go. You know, in your previous question you asked and about grants and those type of things, and just recently the state finished We Are All In grant, and they started awarding those, and previously our city council had set aside $100,000, and we offered a small business grant to help with funding, whether it be your lease payment or mortgage payment.
Do you see this crisis ending anytime soon? I mean, is there light at the end of the tunnel for Wisconsin Rapids?
I don't think we're going to see any light at any tunnel anywhere. You know, I think this needs to run its course, or we need to get a vaccine. And until that happens, we're all just going to have to be cautious and optimistic that it will get over sooner versus later.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate that. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer today on Route 51 as we discuss what lies ahead for communities. When we return, Mosinee Mayor Brent Jacobson will join us to talk about what Mosinee is doing to recover from the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg will also join later in the program. You can be part of the discussion, too, by calling 800-780-9742 or email questions and comments to Route51@WPR.org. I'm Shereen Seewert. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Joining us now from Mosinee is Mayor Brent Jacobson, continuing our discussion on the community response and recovery associated with the coronavirus pandemic. We'll take your questions, too. The number to call is 800-780-9742. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. You can email us, too, route51@wpr.org. Welcome to the program, Mayor.
Thank you, Shereen. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, I know you've been mayor since 2015, so that gives you a little bit different from our other two guests today. You had a few years to get a handle on how the city is run before all of this happened. How secure are the businesses in your community at this time? That's a big question for me. Do you feel that some are still at risk after the shutdown, or have most in Mosinee found a way to bounce back?
Well, and it is a good point. I came into office, fortunately, in 2015 when things were well, and they seemed to only get better with our economy throughout the country, and I think that resonated in Mosinee. So, like many communities, obviously, the health pandemic and then the spillover economic effects were certainly a blow for us. You know, Mosinee's businesses were thriving. We were getting several new businesses in our downtown district. We were getting several new businesses in our business park. And, you know, in a small community like ours, we tried to do everything we could to help. It was certainly welcome news when they could open back up. And we are seeing them come back, but as I've explained to some others, I think it's night and day right now. If you go into a local bar or restaurant, for example, I grew up in this community. I certainly know the difference between what it was and what it is now, and you can see a striking difference. So I think to answer your question, they're coming back, but it's certainly not like it was before the health pandemic hit. And I think others would agree with me, it remains to be seen how this year is going to shake out for them. Are we going to be able to keep all of them? Is the third and fourth quarter going to be a bounce back, or is this just going to get worse? So it's a wait and see approach, I think, at this point. And I am optimistic, but cautiously. So
I guess the big question too is, how do you help those businesses? How do you ensure that they don't close their doors? I know that shortly after the Safer at Home order was put in place, you started writing grant checks to local businesses. Tell us a little bit about that idea and how that all came about.
Yeah, I think we were actually the first in central Wisconsin. I have a real heart for this community. Having grown up here, I went to high school with many of the small business owners. I have a family member who's a small business owner. And it just was very painful for me to see. And what was really painful was at the same time thinking there was probably not much I could do about it. We can't use tax increment finance dollars for something like this. Our city budgets are very limited in our general funds. But we did have $25,000, which for Mosinee, we're a community of just over 4,000 people, so everything is relative, as I think your last guest pointed out. And we had $25,000 in an economic development fund. So I asked the city council if we could do a grant program. And I tried to target businesses that were non-franchise, small businesses, less than 25 employees. And I tried to structure it in a way so it would complement other programs that were out there, like the payroll protection program. So it could not be used for payroll. It was limited to $1,500 maximum. It could only be used for things like a business mortgage or a business rent payment or utility payments. But that helped many. I spoke to a couple actually after they were allowed to open back up that were just so appreciative because that was the only form of assistance they'd gotten so far. And in total, I think we were able to help over 22 or 23 businesses. Some got $1,500, some didn't need the full amount, but they were all very appreciative. And that little bit, in addition to other programs, may have saved some.
Do you see
I was just going to add, other things we did, I've kind of just seen my job as mayor at some points. The best thing you can do is be a cheerleader for your community. That's how you're looked at. And I tried to really cheer on our community during that time to get out and support these places that could still do things like takeout for some of the bar restaurant businesses. So that's another thing we just tried to do to show that we were really behind these people. And the community stepped up and really did help out some of those businesses when they could. I mean, I even got out and sponsored a golf outing with another friend to try and help one of our small businesses that was a close friend of mine. We raised a couple thousand dollars for him. So we were trying to do anything and everything we could to just help these folks.
You talk a lot about the things that the community has done for each other. Are you seeing a lot of that? Are people coming together? Are they working together to help one another in new ways?
Yeah, I really think they are. I just go back to, for instance, we do have a lot of bar restaurant businesses in our community that some of them are really family businesses. You see families in there dining in, and I saw a lot of that takeout ordering food by people who really aren't bar food people, but they made so I don't know if it helped the waistline, but they certainly stepped up during those times and were going out, multiple times a week to try and keep supporting these businesses. And for the businesses that were still open, like your hardware stores, grocery stores that were considered essential businesses during that shutdown period, I mean, we all, if we're out of town, it may be more convenient for a particular day to stop at a Menards or stop at a grocery store out of town if you're out bumming around Wausau, for instance, for me. But I really tried, and I think a lot of people did, to do everything I could locally. If I needed something for hardware, I went to my local hardware store. If I needed groceries, I made sure I always went to my local grocery store. And I've tried to just maintain that, and I think other people have, to try and make sure that we have these services in our community going forward.
From a local government standpoint, are you anticipating budget shortfalls as a result of COVID-19? And what are you looking at to manage it?
Well, we're a little bit different than the county, for instance, and certainly a lot different than the state. We don't have tax revenue sources that those entities do. We don't have a sales tax. Like the state, we don't have an income tax. We don't have a gas tax. We have property taxes, and that's pretty much it. Beyond property taxes, and I should mention, in Wisconsin, property taxes are the number one source of revenue for municipalities throughout the state, and that's true in Mosinee. Behind that, you have general state aid, which was referred to at one time as shared revenue, and behind that, your third largest source usually is general transportation aid. When those two larger sources go down, which depends on the state situation, we have nowhere else to look to maintain the status quo besides property taxes. I have really tried the last 2 years and was successful at having no property tax increase. I put a demand on my staff this year to do everything they could to try and hold the line on property taxes, because this is not the time to be doing a property tax increase if it's really not necessary. But a lot of that really, Shireen, is going to depend on where the state shakes out because of those two larger sources of revenue. I have not heard about a budget repair bill yet, but we will find out shortly in August. We'll be getting estimates from the state. This is what you can expect in transportation aid. This is what you can expect in shared revenue. This is what you can expect in personal property aid. And we take that to the bank to do our budgets to know if we have to raise property taxes. So I'm hoping the state stays strong and holds the line for municipalities on that as we go into our budget season this fall. But, people are going through tough times. And like I said, I certainly, my number one goal is to try and keep property taxes down. And that may mean that a lot of capital projects we'd like to do probably won't happen. Major street reconstructions will probably be put off. If we can put off a major equipment purchase, that will probably happen so that we can keep the property taxes where they are.
You talked a little bit about the ways you fund municipal efforts, but does traffic fines, parking fines, do those kinds of fees play any role in Mosinee's budget, or does that not have an impact?
Well, I would say no, in the grand scheme of things, very small. I mean, we certainly have spaces where we have a little bit of parking ticket revenue and stuff like that. We don't have a wheel tax in Mosinee. That's another thing that's a source of revenue. But, you know, Mosinee's not like one of your larger communities like Wausau, for instance, where I'm sure they have a lot more parking ticket revenue. It's very nominal in the grand scheme of things.
So would you ever consider having a wheel tax? Is that something that you might have to float to the council in the future?
Well, you know, that's not something I've ever been a big fan of. I did the math one time, and I apologize, because it's been quite a while since I looked at how the math shook out. We can actually tell how many registered cars we have in our municipality and times that by a certain amount of money for a wheel tax. And, you know, in all honesty, it is another revenue-raising source if it's necessary, but I looked at the amount of money it would generate. I think it was certainly under $100,000 from what I remember. And the problem is, you know, $100,000 doesn't go a long way if we use it on transportation. If I have to reconstruct 300 feet of street, for instance, and that involves putting new sewer lines in to update those, that could be easily $100,000. So it doesn't get you very far to throw that other amount of money on a wheel tax. So it's not something I'm considering right now.
And of course, you've been mayor for a few years now, as we said earlier. And you know, you look back just a few months ago, we had this robust economy, low unemployment, record earnings, at least by some companies. And our entire region was facing a worker shortage, especially in childcare and healthcare and industrial trades. How has the pandemic affected the workforce in your community?
Well, you know, we have a strong manufacturing base. Our Central Wisconsin Business Park is very strong. It's our primary source of revenue for our tax increment finance districts. And we employ people not only from our community, but from around Central Wisconsin. I've toured factories out there in the past, and I had one gentleman tell me he drove as far as Medford to work every day here in Mosinee. And, you know, manufacturing in certain sectors hasn't been hit as hard as others, like retail, but that may be a later effect of this economy, which is all interconnected, so that that remains yet to be seen. Beyond our manufacturing, we have our paper mill. Obviously, that isn't paper manufacturing, but our paper mill, too, fortunately, has been strong throughout a lot of recessions because of the fact that it makes a specialty paper, unlike your typical copy paper. So it's held its own. Really, the sector that's been hit has been that small retail, your barbershops, your bar restaurants, that kind of stuff in Mosinee is what has really taken the brunt of this.
And it sounds like that is the case across communities throughout North Central Wisconsin. Very similar stories with the types of businesses that are being hit. You talked a little bit about projects potentially having to put them off. There was a recent study that showed 65% of cities already delaying or completely canceling capital expenditures and infrastructure projects. And of course, the concern about that is that it's not only going to stifle job growth and slow local economic activity, but could further jeopardize the recovery efforts in local communities. That's from the National League of Cities. Have there been projects in Mosinee that have already been placed on hold at this point, or have so far things gone as planned?
Things have gone as planned so far. We'll look at our capital plans. We have five-year street plans, five-year equipment purchase plans when we get into the budget this fall. And a lot of that stuff may be nixed just because of the unknown going forward. What's fortunate for us is we have some very strong tax incremental finance districts, which are sort of a tax, well, they are a tax district of their own. The money that is raised in those has to be spent on development within the district, or it goes away when the district closes back to taxing entities. We have some really promising projects coming up, some I can't really get into just yet, but they are within our tax increment district. So we may be a bit of an exception in those areas to spur economic development yet, Mosny, using those dollars, because we are very healthy in those districts yet.
I know that most major events across the state have been canceled. The Wisconsin Valley Fair, the Balloon Rally and Rib Fest in Wausau, the Cranberry Fest, Summerfest. I mean, the list goes on and on, right? Mosny yeah. did hold its 4th of July celebration, the annual celebration that you have there. Was that a strategic decision to encourage tourism?
Well, the Mosny 4th of July Festival has, for as long as I can remember, has been completely run by the Mosny Area Chamber of Commerce. The city's only involvement is really to grant permission to use the park and a beer license for food and beverage vendors. So the chamber came to us. They really wanted to move forward with it this year. I did put it in front of the city council. Usually it doesn't go in front of the city council, but it did this time to give them a look at it. It was a unanimous decision to allow them to go forward. And I know they did take a lot of steps to try and put people that wanted to come out at ease. They were cleaning playground equipment frequently. All food and beverage vendors had gloves and masks. And at a park, it's a little easier to social distance if you'd like to. So, you know, you're always going to have different opinions on that. I had people who I got phone calls from who disagreed with it, and I got people that called me that were very happy it was going forward. So, unfortunately, as I'm sure you can appreciate, in this job, you are never going to get 100% approval on just about everything. So that's how it shook out, and I hope it came out safe for everybody. That was always in the back of my mind. But that's in our past now, so we're moving forward.
Sure. Has Mosny had any losses in room tax revenue at this point, or other tourism-related revenue losses resulting from the pandemic, or is that down the road?
Well, and that remains to be seen. I'm sure we'll find out shortly. Obviously, the hotel-motel industry has taken a hit like others. We only have one hotel in Mosny, and I do not believe we have collected their second quarter revenue yet. And obviously that would just barely cross into where this pandemic hit the industry. So when we collect quarterly, so when that third quarter time, or that second quarter time, I'm sorry, I meant to mention the first quarter, we've collected that. When that second quarter comes up for collection, I think we're really going to get an indication as to whether that's the case. And I'm certainly not going to be surprised if it is.
Sure. Well, one last brief question. What do you see as the best way for Mosny to move forward and meet these challenges that lie ahead? They are substantial.
Well, I think the best way to move forward is really for our community to continue to step up, for those that feel comfortable supporting our local businesses and going out to do that. Certainly encourage them to safely. For those who don't, there are alternatives. Obviously, still get the things you need in town. Go to your hardware store, go to your local grocery store rather than out of town. And at the city, what we're going to do, as I mentioned, is try and keep the economic burden as low as possible on folks by holding the line on property tax if we can. And we're going to try and take advantage of those TIF districts to move development projects forward despite the situation we're in. So it's a multifaceted job, of course, but we're going to continue to do everything we can to make this a great place to live, to work, and to want to stay and to get through this. And I wish
all my colleagues
out there the best. I know they're dealing with the same situation, and I feel for them, and I talk to them often.
Mosny Mayor Brent Jacobson, thank you so much for being here today for this discussion. When we return, Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg will join in. and talk about the consequences of the pandemic for Wausau and the potential ripple effect on the entire region. You can join the conversation, too, by calling 800-780-9742 or email questions to Route51@WPR.org. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Joining us for the final segment of today's program discussing the local government response to the coronavirus pandemic is Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. Katie, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'll take your questions, too. The number to call is 800-780-9742. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call, or you can email us to route51@wpr.org. So, Katie, you're a little bit in the same boat as Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blaser, because you were both just elected in the middle of all this. I mean, how significantly did the pandemic change your immediate list of priorities when you took office?
Oh, man, during the campaign, I was talking about attracting and retaining new employees, strategic planning, all of those things. And immediately you're like, well, we got to deal with this pandemic right now. Businesses are closing. How do we protect everyone? So it dramatically changed how I'm looking at it, and also how I've been introduced to our team. It's been very different, I think, than past mayors.
Well, sure. I mean, with a lot of people working at home, there had to be a very awkward transition, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've met everybody yet, but, you know, we're getting there.
All right. Well, the National League of Cities is projecting a $360 billion revenue loss for cities over the next 3 years. I mean, it's pretty staggering. So at this time, do you have a sense of what that shortfall is going to mean for Wausau, and how largely is the community going to be affected by that?
It's kind of tough right now to figure out where we're at, because, you know, you have this situation in the state where the legislature seems unwilling to come forward with a budget repair bill, because obviously we also have a governor of a different party who could veto certain portions. So there's kind of this kind of back and forth between them. So we don't really know. For this year, it seems like they're going to continue on with the biennial budget that was already passed. Now, for next year, you'll have a different legislature, maybe. We'll see if there are any changes there. But moving forward for us, we're looking at a couple different scenarios. We have to be ready. So we're looking at, okay, where have we already saved money? What are we going to need that seems different than what we needed last year? I'm asking our departments to not ask for any increases in their budgets. But I do want to look at the cost to continue the services that we're doing right now. So, you know, we're looking at where we can cut. It's tough. I mean, all the easy decisions have already been made, so it's going to be tough.
So Wausau, of course, the largest community in our region. So how do you anticipate Wausau's budgeting issues impacting, say, Marathon County or other municipalities in the region?
Yeah, so I'm hoping that we don't add to the burden to our shared constituents. I think that's a tough thing. We all have to work together. You know, I'm watching very closely what the county has to work through. I mean, they're losing millions because a lot of their revenue is sales tax related. Now, Wausau is a little bit more stable in that way, so we don't have as big of a shortfall right now when it comes to that. But, you know, we're working together on how we can partner, be more efficient. I'm meeting with the county administrator every other week, just how can we partner here to be more efficient for our shared constituents?
So a few weeks ago, I think it was about a month and a half ago, actually, we heard that as many as 50 Wausau businesses could be at risk of permanent closure due to the pandemic. Of course, the Safer at Home order was overturned and some businesses opened back up. But what does that number look like now? Are there still dozens of businesses that may close, or is that crisis past?
You know, we have businesses that have closed. We have some. It's not 50, thankfully. But, you know, we also have businesses that are still trying to make a go at it. You know, they're seeing their clientele kind of decrease. But, you know, we've tried to work with them. You know, we've worked on expanding premises. If you're a restaurant or a tavern, you can expand that premises onto the sidewalk. So when you have guests coming in, they can be a little bit more distant, feel a little safer dining. But, you know, it's tough for them, and we definitely recognize that. I've been getting feedback from people, so I want to recognize that this is big here. So anything we can do to help, you know, we worked to reprogram some community development block grant funding into grants for local businesses to apply for. They can use that towards their business. And then there's also loans that they can use a little bit bigger, and there's forgivable portions of that.
So there, you mentioned there were some policy things that changed in Wausau. I know Stevens pointed something similar where you would allow taverns and restaurants to have some outdoor areas and seating. Well, but of course, we live in Wisconsin. It is cold here, and it isn't going to be very long before outdoor seating isn't going to be really viable. What do you think happens then?
Man, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about this at our CISM, our Capital Investments and Street Maintenance Committee meeting last night. And we have valet parking that people have kind of been using in different ways for pickup, you know, quick turnaround pickup. So we've been talking about what does that look like for other areas in the city. Can we offer those opportunities so people can come and go pretty quickly for pickup? People have been very receptive to that. So, you know, we're looking at all those ideas and trying to find ways to help our businesses stay afloat. You know, our community is very generous. I mean, they've been eating out a lot. We also had that special permit for downtown dining on Wednesdays. So I've seen a lot of people out there supporting their businesses, you know, kind of yelling across the street to each other, trying to maintain that social distance. So, you know, we're going to continue trying to find solutions, whether that's, you know, encouraging mask use or whatever that looks like.
Of course, there's policy decisions, but there's also money. So Wausau shifted more than half of its CARES Act funding to McDevco for distribution to small businesses. So when you're talking with small business owners, between that funding and the PPP loans that they were able to get, what's your sense? Is the aid that's been distributed enough to save them? Or is more going to be necessary?
You know, it really kind of depends on those businesses. You know, we've seen an interesting situation where we haven't distributed all of our grants or loans yet, and we're wondering, is the reporting structure too rigid for them? So, you know, I'm asking for feedback all the time, like, how can we help you more? Like, what is it that you need? And I think this council, and I've definitely been receptive to hearing from them, I'm hoping that, you know, we can distribute all of that free money. I mean, those grants, it's really important that if you need it, you apply for it. So I guess this is just another call out, like, hey, if you need money, apply through McDevco. We're still passing out dozens of grants.
So a National League of Cities survey this month shows that 65% of cities are being forced to delay or completely cancel capital expenditures and infrastructure projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've talked about, yes, I know the easy decisions have been made, but Wausau has some major projects in the works, you know, the newer sewer water and treatment plants. Are there infrastructure projects that are going to have to be delayed as a result of revenue losses? Do you see that happening?
So we've been having those discussions. You know, a lot of it comes down to how can we fund the roads. So those projects that you mentioned were already in the works. It would have taken a lot to stop them or delay them. You know, there are obviously some DNR permitting issues too. So right now we're talking about, okay, what can we afford when it comes to streets? What does that look like? So it's been interesting to be on the city side, because on the county side, you know, when we pave a mile of road, it's, you know, $300,000. But in the city, because we're working with sewer lines and all kinds of different things, it's $1 million for a mile of road. So it's really taxing, and we just need to figure out how to get the most important roads fixed. The committee that was dealing with it yesterday had a really interesting discussion looking specifically at streets that they think need the most fixing. So it's going to be tough. It's, you know, when you're looking at fixing one terrible street over another terrible street, it's not an easy decision here. And there are going to be some streets that we have to just kind of let go until the year after that. So we're looking at a five-year plan. You know, hopefully we can get to everything that needs to be done. We're looking at different kinds of options too. They're talking about skinning streets instead of completely reconstructing them. So how do we make what we have last longer?
What does that mean? What's the difference between you said skinning streets?
Oh yeah, I'm probably using the term wrong. But so instead of, you know, completely putting down new foundation and everything, it's mostly taking off those top layers and then putting asphalt over the top.
Okay, all right. That's kind of what I was imagining, but I wasn't 100% sure there.
Yeah.
I'd like to touch on public-private partnerships too. The city has has had strong public-private partnerships in the past. Mm-hmm. And just this week, we saw renderings for what Wausau Center Mall could become now that the property has changed hands and it's owned by those local stakeholders. Now, we didn't hear anything about the cost or potential city involvement for that matter. So I guess my question is, are big idea projects that really require that city participation going to be a tougher sell now, given the projected revenue losses that lie ahead?
Right. So that's one of those projects where it's really exciting to see those pictures and everything. And obviously, we want to support the redevelopment of that. But the question that I had to both, the chairs of the committees and also staff working on it and to the developers themselves is, what does it look like from a city perspective? What is that anticipated investment? Are we looking at demolition? Yeah. Are we looking at, payments? I want to make sure that we're on the right road for that. And, of course, this happens over a number of years. But I want to make sure that our council, our body making these decisions, has an idea of what it costs. There are ways to find money. You've seen it happen before in different TIFs, and, they talk about the opportunity zone and things like that. So I want to make sure that we just understand where we're at. So that's going to be a discussion. I can't tell you what the body will decide, but I'm arguing for just a lot of understanding of what our involvement will be.
And Wausau, of course, has some significant debt, some large-scale TIF use, and a shortfall in funding for road repairs. Marathon County added a wheel tax a few years back. We talked with Mosinee Mayor Brent Jacobson about a potential wheel tax in Mosinee. He said he's not interested in that. Are we going to see anything like that in Wausau, or even just more consumption taxes to bridge those funding gaps? What's your thoughts?
I don't like it. I don't like that idea. I voted for it on the county side, and I also voted in favor of a sunset on that because I think we do need to continue discussing. That's not something I would support on the city side right now. It's a regressive tax. It's tough, and, we're asking a lot of people. So that's not something we're looking at. It could be something the Finance Committee, kind of bats around. You're looking at all kinds of different fees, but I'm not interested in, especially after seeing that referendum result, saying, hey, we don't want this. And I get it. So we're going to have to look at what we're paying for. I put together a capital improvements project committee that includes citizen members. So I'm looking for input on how do we rank these big projects, these capital items that are coming in, and what do we have to put off for next year or following years. I think it's important that we rank these and we really understand what is important to do right now and what we can just delay a bit.
A little earlier, we talked about the National League of Cities projection, the $360 billion revenue loss for cities over the next 3 years. What portion of Wausau's budget is at risk? What portion of Wausau's budget comes from state and federal sources?
Yeah, so I wish I had the exact number, but, we rely mostly on that shared revenue. We have the fees and things like that, and then it's really important that we continue getting our funding from our state and federal partners here. I was on a phone call with someone from Senator Baldwin's office, and I said, hey, what would really help us out here? Good old-fashioned American Recovery and Reinvestment Act-style money, where we can continue supporting what our residents need as far as road and infrastructure projects, but we'll be able to reallocate some of our funding elsewhere. It's those conversations that we need to continuously have. It's tough. It's tough everywhere, and the cost to continue just keeps going up. So my policy is just to have those open conversations with our legislators and in other bodies of government.
So obviously a large portion of the funding comes from those sources, but there are fees, and you talked about fees. So what about loss of revenue from traffic fines, parking fines, court fees? I mean, basically everything shut down for weeks. So there was a loss in revenue that way. How significant is that to Wausau's budget?
Yeah, we saw a loss in parking fees and things like that, but that's not really stuff that we use to budget on. That's kind of a little bit extra. It's money, but it's not huge. One of the things that was kind of interesting to learn is that we lost revenue on ambulance runs, which, people were afraid to go to the hospital, so they weren't calling. So that was kind of interesting, but it's not something that's going to make or break us right now. I'm not looking at other fees necessarily, so we'll see when we get to that budget scenario. I've been asking to get stuff out early to the public and to our policy body so that we can have these discussions in public.
And tourism, with room tax collection sharply down, is that a large impact or is that, like this, something that you don't budget for?
Right. So, the tourism money that we get, the room tax dollars, I mean, that largely goes to support local events, local, you know, things like that going on, Balloon and Rib Fest, you know, things that have been canceled. So, you know, there's a little bit of reprieve there. We're not getting, I want to say a lot of the organizations are looking at 50%, being down 50%. So, I mean, that is part of it. The way we have our room tax situation set up, the city retains a certain amount where we can decide where it goes. And, you know, with our projections right now, our room tax committee might not have a lot to work with. So that's another thing to consider. So, you know, we're putting together a meeting for next week to have those discussions.
A lot of big decisions ahead. That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guests today, Mayor Katie Rosenberg from Wausau, Mosinee Mayor Brent Jacobson, and Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Our producer today is Joy Ratch-Kramer. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Rick is also our on-air producer today. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, two local school superintendents will join us for a discussion on how area districts are preparing for a safe return to the classroom this fall amid ongoing uncertainty over best practices. Until then, we're heading out of town.